This morning, I'm going to talk, and I'm going to talk briefly, I hope. I've said that before, haven't I? About God's direct intervention. I want to ask you a question. It's a part of the text that we're going to read from, which is Isaiah 40. And I'm going to give you an opportunity again to communicate something. And here's my question. What motivates you to continue to serve the Lord? And by serve the Lord, I don't mean just like, you know, coming to be on the Awana Club team or to be in youth, but to serve God really means that you give yourself every day. What motivates you to continue to serve the Lord? And it's not a trick question. So anyway, somebody want to respond to that? Emily? So that you can be intimate with him. Yeah, that's great. Somebody else? Oh, sorry. God is always faithful. He is.
It never stops.
Yes. Even though sometimes we feel like it stopped.
Oh, yeah.
You've never been in that place, though, have you? No, I didn't think so. We have a good friendship. She's not offended by that. Yeah. Yeah, we've been in the boat together. A lot of us have here. Somebody else? Mary Sue? Are you going to sing?
No.
Okay. You could if you wanted to. That'd be good. Go ahead. I'm sorry. What's that?
Nothing else works.
Nothing else works. That is very true, isn't it? All right. How about over here? This was, what were y'all? Y'all were the, it was Sonny and Cher crowd the last time we talked, I think. How about over here? Anybody? Steve, why? There you are in the middle. That's good. That'll work.
If I leave myself, I lead myself into trouble.
You lead yourself into trouble? Yeah, I've done that. We all have, haven't we? Diana? His unconditional love for you. That's right. Someone else? Oh, sorry, Patrick. Life is so much better and easy. That's easy, isn't it? Oh, Brenda, I'm sorry. It's really hard to see because there's like a halo over this crowd over here. I'm sorry, Brenda. He always shows up. He does, doesn't he? My problem is sometimes I don't recognize that he's shown up. There it lies. Okay. So we've had church. All right, somebody else, real quick. Doug? Divine purpose, yes. Yeah.
I want to reach that prize that's called.
Yes. Mercedes?
There's always peace.
Peace. I'm going to come get you to pray for me because sometimes but you're right. Seriously. And I think that's one of the great thing about that is that it's like on Wednesday night when we come to pray and, you know, you're like, there's a lot of requests that are there. And so you're saying, you know, God, I just need to have peace because I know I can't do anything and my human effort is just not enough. So, let's see. Who was Paul?
It's a call of the Spirit.
Call of the Spirit. Yes. That's good. Kata? He has all the answers. Yeah. That's good. Okay. Ron, okay, one more. It's good. What I want to say to us about God's direct intervention is that and what I'm going to share with you is along the lines of what I prayed. I believe that this church and every church has a mantle on it to allow God to directly intervene in our lives and then to be the messengers, if I can say it, for his intervention. Today, what we have sung about, if you think about it, I mean, there are people that are really locked up right now. And we've talked about this before. But you see, when we receive God's direct intervention, then that comes with a responsibility and there's a motivation for us. Now, you've talked about some of the things that are in that. But Isaiah has some interesting things to say that. So I want to go ahead and read from Isaiah chapter 40. In verse 1, and remember last week we read from Isaiah 12, and we talked a lot about that God should be trusted because he's God. We talked about that he was the one that initiated the ministry of reconciliation, and we talked about the fact that God is today active and powerful. And so Isaiah is really, he's answered the question for God's people at this time about, can God be trusted? And yes, God can be trusted. And that's what he was confirming to Israel. Now let's look at chapter 40, verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Listen to this. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And then onto verse 3, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. Now listen, this is where he's really, I mean, this is it. This is the heart of this message as far as us being the messenger. You bring good tidings to Zion. Get up on a high mountain, you who bring good tidings to Jerusalem. Lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Father, we thank you for the prophet Isaiah. We thank you, Lord, that he saw into the future. Lord, that you revealed to him, Lord, the questions and the issues that Israel would face as it would be in exile. Father, we thank you that that's a picture of what you've done for us. I pray, God, that you would take this text and minister to us this morning with it. We bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah is really writing a prophetic word, didn't he? God is showing him what Israel will go through. And as in last week's message, the question that he was really trying to answer was, why should the people of Israel really trust God? Is he really trustworthy? And we, as we have acknowledged this morning, he has answered that question. But there's still a question that has to be answered. And that's the question that we talked about this morning. What will motivate the people to become the servants that they're called to be? That's why I ask you that question. What is it that really motivates you to serve God, to be the servants that we are to become? I thought what Lee shared this morning was great, and some of you also, because he talked about how, you know, that God has blessed him and the strength that he has sensed in being in this church and having people around him, even in a difficult season of his life. But he's also been productive. He has also been, while he is going through this season, he has been a messenger to others and looking to do more of that. And so it's great to see he is a recipient of God's grace. He is a recipient of God's power, his spirit. And here he is today to testify of what God's doing. And as he does that, he is encouraging all of us. And so it's a great thing. It's exactly what happened, what Isaiah is writing that we should do in chapter 40. Now, the other question that is in there that is important for us today is what has to be done about the sin that alienated Israel from the Lord. And what I want to say to us is that if we see ourselves as being God's messengers, then we have to understand that what God sees is that he sees his children in exile. In other words, I know exile may be something that we don't fully understand. In other words, people are living all around us that are living in a spiritual exile. They're in bondage. They need to know that God, their Father, wants to have a relationship with them. He wants to set them free. Isn't that right? They've got questions. I mean, there are books that are being written now about if God is so loving, why does he allow things to happen that seem so tragic? And that's been a question that's been asked probably throughout history. But God created this world. He created the people that are in it. And he is not void, or he is not off a distant place, that he is not intervening in his creation. And what he has done is called us to be a part of that. Let's look in verses 1 and 2, and you can begin to see the nature of God's intervention. The word comfort is to encourage. So is the phrase speak tenderly. Now, when we think about comfort, we think about what? We think about something that's comfortable. We're glad to, you know, have a comfortable home. We're glad to have a, you know, if we have a car and it has a leather seats, I don't. But, you know, those are comfortable. We like things that are comfortable to us. And so when we think about comfort, we think of it many times in a material way. But what Isaiah is saying is that God is wanting to encourage. It's like there's another level of encouragement, I guess that we could say, that God is speaking to the people of Israel. Yes, you have sinned. Yes, you are going to pay. Yes, you are going to go through this time. But you are not destroyed. You're not crushed. And God is speaking a word of hope. Speak tenderly. I mean, it's almost as though, I think sometimes ladies understand that, you know, that phrase, speak tenderly, maybe more so than us men. But it means to encourage, to give hope. And listen, people are living without hope today. And the challenge that we face many times is that when we go through difficult times ourselves, or just life has a way of taking us out of being the messenger and being the salt and light that God desires for us to become. Thank you, Leslie. And so Isaiah is seeing this future where God's people, they fall under the weight of their sin. And they believe that all has been lost. They believe that, you know, they have these promises being God's chosen people, and they really believe that everything has been nullified. And I believe that that's a picture of what people are living there today that are out there. They believe that God's not interested in them. They may have prayed. They may have thought about God. But somehow God has just passed them by. And they can't get out from underneath it. That's where you and I have the opportunity to give them hope. Not in our human effort, not in our human words, but because we have been the recipient of God's intervention. And what Isaiah is really saying, when you look at this passage of Scripture, God's direct intervention is really his undeserved grace that he has extended to us. That is what Isaiah is saying is the motivation for serving God. That's what he's trying to give the people of Israel hope for, that God has given his undeserved grace to them, and that is what gives them hope Last week, we talked about that God could be trusted. And this week, the question is that Isaiah is answering is, listen, the reason to serve God, the reason to be faithful, the reason to stand as hope in hope is because God has extended his undeserved grace into our lives. This morning, there are many of you, I know, because we pray and because you share about what's going on. Last night, when we, in our time of worship, the thing that I shared personally with Impact at the end of the service, and those of you who were here heard what I said, that there are many of people that are here today in Christ Covenant Church that are standing in the gap. It's almost like you're standing down in a ditch. You ever see them do construction work at a ditch? You know, I mean, they're down there. There's mud, there's dirt, there's water. And some of y'all feel like that's what you're in. You're standing in very difficult situations. Some of you are standing with your grandkids. Some of you are standing with your older children or your younger children or somebody that's really having a difficult time that needs God to move in their life. And you are there to give them hope. Why? Because you have received God's grace in your life. You know, I mean, the thing that's been challenging for me is that there are some people that I'm close to that are even outside the church. They have made bad choices. They have lived in sin. I mean, they are paying for the consequences of what has happened to their life. So what I do, you know? I mean, sometimes I feel the weight of that trying to stand with them. But the thing that gives me hope is I have to go back and remember I have received God's grace. And I still need God's grace, and you know I do. You know, if you know me well, you know that I have to have God's grace. And sometimes the thing is, especially that I have felt, I need God's grace to stand in that ditch where they are, to try to help them to get out. I mean, you know, if you come over to somebody and say, you know, you're in a bad situation, you need God's help. And God's saying, it's time to get out in the ditch and help them get out. Why? Why do we do that? Because we've been given God's grace. And God's grace is undeserved. I mean, you know, I look at my own life, and I think as long as I can remember, we went to church. I mean, I gave very little trouble to my parents. You know, my mom and my dad said, you know, you were a good son, always, before they passed away. But in God's eyes, I needed to be saved. In God's eyes, I needed forgiveness. In God's eyes, I missed the mark. And so what God did, he extended his grace to me. There's nothing that I've done to deserve his grace in my life. It is the motivating factor in my life. You say, well, you know, maybe you feel indebted or you feel, you know, you're trying to work through. I realize I can't do enough. Pastoring a church, it's not enough. Leading worship, it's not enough. Working in the Wana Club, it's not enough. See, we can't earn it. It's grace that's been extended to us. And there's none of us, no matter how good a life that we've lived, that we deserve it. But God has called us to be the messengers. You're called to be a messenger. You're called to be a messenger with your life. You're called to be a messenger with your attitude and your heart. What you do. There are people that are looking at you. You know. They are. And in time, I mean, how many of you have been really, I mean, God really blessed you and he's channeled something through you. I mean, doesn't that bless you? Doesn't it? I mean, it just energizes you. I mean, you know, to know that God is using us, that he's channeling his spirit, his power, the truth of his word through us. That's what we're called to become. Now, here's the challenge that we have in being this kind of messenger. God expects us to wait with hope. In other words, a lot of people give up. I mean, some of you have relatives that are giving up. I have some people that I'm close to, and I feel like, you know, it's like they made progress, but then they're like, they kind of give in. And they give in to things that they should not be. And yet I see God there trying to draw them. His Spirit, I mean, is working in their life. And every time that they make a move towards God's grace, then God pours out his blessing on them. The help and the strength that they need is there. And that's encouraging. But listen, we've got to be messengers that say to people, look, it may look bad right now, but we've got to wait with expectancy. Our God is active. Don't let the fact that you feel like that, you know, God is not moving to become negative or to doubt that God will do the things that he has promised. There are too many people that are saying God is not a, he's, it's almost like God is dead. In our country, we are spiritually dying. Do you feel that? I mean, we are moving more towards that, you know, every year. But God is not dead. And the things get bleak and they get dark and they get intense. It's when the church is going to rise up. We are. And the question that we have to answer is, are we going to be a part of that? Are we going to be motivated by the grace that God has extended to us? John Oswalt, who's an author, wrote this statement. He said this. He said, to wait on God is not simply to mark time. Rather, it is to live in confident expectation of his action on our behalf. You see, we can't be the messengers that God desires for us to be if we're not expecting him to move on our behalf. You know, I mean, if I got around Fred and I was going to Fred. Fred, you know, I'm really going through a struggle. And Fred didn't have expectancy. Fred has expectancy. I mean, you get around Fred. You know, I mean, just on Sunday mornings when he comes up, he's calling us to be expectant. I like to be around Fred. Some of y'all like to be around Fred and Charlotte, too. Charlotte helps Fred to be expectant, right? How about Rick Burkhall? Y'all get around Rick? Y'all get close to Rick? Something stirring in there. There's an expectancy. Hey, Rick is walking through some things. What I think is so great about this church is there are people that are walking through difficult times, and there's an expectancy. They're not dialed in. They're not going like this. You know, things really look bad. I tell you, Pastor Dennis, I don't know, man. God, this has just passed me by. They're not doing that, and they could. But see, that's not what God's put in Rick. It's not what God's put in Fred. It's not what God's put in Kata. It's not what God's put in Mary Sue. Hey, you know, listen, people are coming to this church. There are more of you that are being stirred up because why? You have an expectancy. That's what people want to be around. Nobody wants to be around somebody that's, you know, negative and not expecting God to move. And I'm not talking about, you know where I stand on the thing of trying to, you know, think through and make yourself positive. That's not what I'm talking. I'm talking about believing in God's power, that his arm, you know, is not too short. That's what the Bible says, to save and deliver. You know, and it may not come exactly when we want to, but listen, we need to expect for God to move. And that's the kind of people that people are looking for. And that's the kind of church that we're becoming. If you want to know what kind of church we're becoming, that's what it is. God prophetically spoke to this church and said, this is a hospital. When people come to a hospital, they're sick. So you're saying, you mean when I came to this church, I was sick? Absolutely. You were. You understand, when I came to pastor this church, I was still sick. I'm being healed. You understand what I'm saying? Listen, you think, I thought you had it all together, Pastor Dennis. No, I don't. And you know I don't if you're close to me. Because I'm transparent. I try to be. There are many of you that are standing in the gap. You're in the ditch. And sometimes the water's pretty deep in there, isn't it, Lee? It's rushing, isn't it, Dan? Rick, you know, isn't it? It's a mess in there, isn't it? Lee, you know what? You're nodding your head. You know that. Dan, you know it. Kata, you know it. Bonnie, you know it. Cindy, you know it. And Dad, you know it because you have to work with me. As your pastor, I want to tell you, we are becoming what God desires. I want to say to you again, I've said it, and I said it last night. I think over the last year, I have felt my arms being lifted more so than ever before. And you know what's exciting about it? It's not about me. It's about what God's doing through you. And many of y'all have stepped up to the plate big time. And so now what we've got to do is I get a little older and Fred gets a little older. Dan's not quite there yet. Dominic and all of us. There has to be new leadership. And I'm asking the question, who's going to be the next pastor? Now, I'm not ready to go yet, okay? Who's going to be the next pastor? Who are the next group of leaders, both men and women, they're going to step forward? That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for younger men and women. I mean, I'm talking about right here, that are willing to become what God wants. I'm challenging. Hey, listen, I made some young men mad. Can I say this? Because sometimes, okay, I'm going to say it, and forgive me, but sometimes you have to kick some butt, okay? Okay, in love. That may offend you. But listen, the stakes are high, and what's happening with our younger adults is that they're being pulled along, you know, like an undertow like this. They are. The problem is the shore is that way. And there be, you know, God's purpose is that way. And they're being pulled in. And I don't want to see that. And so we're looking, the elders are looking for young men and young women who will step forward to serve, to understand what it means that God is covenantal. And because he's covenantal, we're to be covenantal. That means we're to be committed to him and to one another. Sometimes just the thing that's important is to be able to serve. And a lot of people today in the Christian community don't want to serve. We are consumers. We want to come into a church. We want to be entertained. We want to have nice message, all these kind of things, nice music, and all those types of things that are wonderful. But God didn't call us to be consumers. Isaiah said, get up on the hill. He said, get up on the hill and speak to Jerusalem. And what we are to speak is we are the recipients of God's undeserved grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, you have moved. You have ministered. We have prayed. We have testified. We have worshiped with music and praise, God. You are awesome. Lord, I pray for us that you would help us to be the messengers. Lord, to get up on that hill. Lord, I pray that for all of us here today, that we would not lose that you have extended undeserved grace to us, Father. Lord, I pray there are people that we are praying for. There are people that are on the verge of divorce. There are people in separations. There are people, Lord, that are struggling with their kids. Lord, there are so many things. There's so much brokenness in our society, God. But I pray, Lord, that we would be those, Lord, that could stand in the gap with them, Lord, to encourage them, and Lord, that by your word and by your spirit, that we might give them hope. Oh, God, we thank you that you are not silent. We thank you, God, that you intervene. And that you're direct about it, and that you work through people. So we bless you and honor you today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Kata, would you come? Come stand by me. Give me a chance to put my arm around you.
Okay.